الحمد لله رب العالمين الذي خلق الافلاك والارضين والصلاه والسلام على سيد الانبياء والمرسلين وعلى اله واصحابه اجمعين وعلينا ما هم وبهم ولهم وفيهم الى يوم الدين اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سبح لله ما في السماوات والارض وهو العزيز الحكيم صدق رسول صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الامين الكريم ایک مرتبہ نہایت عشق و محبت کے ساتھ درود شریف کا نذرانہ پیش کریں۔ اللهم صل علی سیدنا و نبینا مولانا محمد معدن الجود والکرم ومنبع العلم والحلم والحکم وعلی آلہ وصحبہ وبارک وسلم۔ In the beginning of the propagation of Islam in the first few years, we heard yesterday about the zulm and the transgression and the oppression and the persecution and the tortures that the Muslims faced from the non-Muslims and the mushrikeen of Makkah. This continued for the first 3 years, and then for the fourth year and the fifth year. These were the first 4 to 5 years whereby the early Muslims, the Sabiqeen al-Awwaleen, they faced many trials, many tribulations. And from amongst them, the most troubles and hardships were faced by the Messenger of Allah, the Savior of mankind, Sayyiduna Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I mentioned yesterday that it wasn't only the poor servants or slaves who accepted Islam that faced this torture and this punishment from the kuffar, from the mushrikeen of Makkah, but also the rich people who had accepted Islam. From amongst them, many had to face many trials and tribulations. For example, Sayyiduna Uthman al-Ghani, Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu ta'ala, he was a very rich man, but when he accepted Islam, the mushrikeen of Makkah, they would swear at him, they would speak evil of him, they would throw litter on him, and his uncle used to physically abuse Sayyiduna Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu ta'ala, up to the extent that he would tie him to a pillar. Sutun ke saath bandh dete the. He used to tie Sayyiduna Uthman al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala on a pillar and not give him food or drink and torture him in that manner. And he would get lashed at with a stick on his body. And all these types of tortures took place against the Sahaba of Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From amongst them was Sayyiduna Zubayr ibn al-Awwam. He was also a rich man, but he also faced punishment from his uncle. In the same way, Sayyiduna Sa'id ibn Zayd radiallahu ta'ala, he also had to go through punishment and torture because he had accepted Islam. But when you study the seerah and the history, you will find that not one person who had accepted Islam at that time, although they were tortured, they did not denounce Islam. They didn't commit irtidad. They remained steadfast and they remained strongly planted upon the truth that they did not denounce Islam in order to save themselves from this torture, hardship and punishment. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam faced such hardship that his daughter, Sayyida Umme Kulthum radiallahu anha, according to one narration, was married to the son of Abu Lahab. And Abu Lahab, although he's an uncle of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is one of the biggest enemies of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His son, and in one narration it says Utbah, and in the other narration it says his son Utaybah, his younger son. So one of the two were married to Sayyida Umm Kulthum radiallahu anha. The other daughters of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam were also married to others. The people of Makkah went to these husbands, these son-in-laws of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they offered them, "Tell us who you want to get married to, we will give you that woman in your nikah. But divorce the daughter of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and send her back to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam." This is what they did. The son-in-laws refused, besides Utaybah, the son of Abu Lahab. He, al-ayadu billah, he hurt the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam so much that he tortured the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He took her to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and threw her in the feet of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then he spat at the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, "I have divorced her," and he walked off. Now, if the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted, he could have destroyed all the people of Makkah that rejected. But he was sent as rahmatul lil alameen, and his mission was to spread and propagate the madhab and the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he wanted, he had the option. Jibreel alayhi salam was waiting, he was on standby. "You order and I will destroy all of these people." But the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that if you destroy all of these people, then who will accept the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So he chose this hardship himself. He chose this life of struggle and striving himself. But at times the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam did make statements or dua against these people at times. And this was one of them occasions where Utaybah, when he did this disrespect in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have his wild animals set behind you." Yani, may Allah set free the wild animals on you. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he would utter something, it would happen. Wo zaba jisko sab kun ki kunji kahe, unki nafid hukumat ilakho salam. So the hukumat was of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he chose to be lenient and to be merciful against these people, because tomorrow people would say that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not go through any striving or struggling in order to propagate the deen, but he was given so many powers by Allah that because of that he spread Islam. But the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not do that. He remained steadfast, he remained peaceful, he remained merciful, and he propagated Islam in this peaceful manner. Now there are many other occasions where there were people that were destroyed because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam made a dua su, or a dua against them. But I'm just giving you one example because we don't have time to look at all of these examples. So Utaybah with his father Abu Lahab, he goes off to Syria for a business trip. So they go in this kafla, they go on this business trip, but he has in his mind that Muhammad uttered these words sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they all knew, even though they rejected the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they all knew that if he said something it would happen. They apparently claimed that he was a magician or he was a kahin, but they knew in reality that he was not a magician. They knew he was not mad. They knew that he was speaking the truth, but they did not accept Islam because of their arrogance and their pride of their forefathers and their idols. And this was the arrogance of the time of Jahiliyyah. So now they go off to Syria and they stop near this place where the locals tell them that be careful when you rest at night because there are wild animals roaming around this area. So upon hearing this, Abu Lahab's ears opened and his sons, and they told all the other people that were in that journey with them that, "Right, my son must be looked after because I have fear that wild animals will kill my son." So what they did was they stacked all their goods in one place, and they made a high place, and they placed the bed of Utaybah in that high place, and everybody else was asked to sleep around. So if any wild animal was to come, then nothing would happen to Utaybah. So now at night when they go to sleep, a lion appears. A lion comes and quietly, sneakingly, the lion sniffs all the other bodies, all the other people sleeping. But then it jumps onto the stock of goods, and then it, in one bite, rips the head of Utaybah off, and in that manner Utaybah dies. So in this manner there were people who committed such disrespect in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned words of dua against them, and then that happened. There was one example where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was performing tawaf, and Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam came, because a few people, three men, were speaking and swearing at the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Jibreel alayhi salam just walked past one of them and touched his hand. And when Jibreel alayhi salam touched his hand started bleeding and blood started pouring from his hand, and he passed away. And then Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam went to the second one and he touched him on his head, and his head started bleeding and he died. And the third one also died in a similar manner. So these things also happened when they stepped out of their limits. But the most common thing was that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was always forgiving and showing mercy to them and giving them a chance. So in this manner, 3 years passed by, 4 years passed by, and then 5 years passed by, and the torture and the struggle of the Muslims does not stop. But now many people have accepted Islam, from amongst the poor people, the rich people. People have come from outside and they have come and listened to the words of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and accepted Islam. Some of them listened to the words of the Quran and accepted Islam. Some of them only by looking at the beautiful moon bright and the sun shining face of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they accepted Islam. And many people were from amongst the Jews and Christians who already knew that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was this man. They came and accepted Islam. The Jews at that time started to change what their books had said. And amongst the Jews and the Christians, the manner in which they learned the book of Allah, the Tawrat and the Injil, was that the scholars had access to the books, not the general public. So if they wanted to know something from the book, they had to come to the scholar, the rabbi or the priest, and ask him, what does the book of Allah say regarding this? And then the priest or the rabbi, he would look into the book and tell them. They didn't have access to the book. That's the way it was. So when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam emerged and appeared and announced his prophethood, they thought that at the moment we are being respected and honored so much. They bring us wealth, they gift us food and drink and everything. Our family is looked after as royalty. If we tell these people that he is the final prophet, then they will all go and become enslaved to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We will lose everything. So for that little price of this dunya, for that price in this world, they changed, altered the books of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they started telling the people that the Prophet Muhammad, the final prophet, will not be beautiful. He will be dark in color. He will be a tall man. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was neither tall, neither short. He was just perfect. He was moderate. And they changed all these signs. But they told their relatives. For their relatives, they said in secret that go to Makkah. There is a man called Muhammad. He has announced his prophethood. Go and accept his deen. Because if you will accept his deen, you will go to Jannah on the Day of Judgment. But don't tell anybody I told you this. This is what they used to do. So many Jews and Christians used to come and they used to accept Islam. And this is all mentioned in Surah Baqarah. If you recite Surah Baqarah, read the translation of Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala, you'll find all this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran about the Jews and the Christians. So many Jews and Christians also came and accepted Islam. But the torture did not stop. The slaves and the Muslims, they were still being beaten and they were being tortured. Sayyiduna Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, he would gather wealth, he would go and trade and make money and then bring that money and go to the masters of these slaves who had accepted Islam. And he would say, how much do you want for this slave? And he'd buy that slave off them. And when he would buy him, he would come to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he'd say, Ya Rasulullah, I have bought him from his master, and I make you a witness that I have freed him. And in that manner, he freed many slaves who had accepted Islam and saved many of them from torture. And from amongst them, Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala. He went to Umayyah and he told Umayyah, how much do you want? And Umayyah mentioned a really huge price. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala said, okay, I will give you that much. I will buy Bilal off you. Then Umayyah changed his mind and he said an even higher price. And there's different narrations about how this happened. And he, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala said, no problem, I'll pay you that price. Then he said, no, even more. So then Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, tell me one price and I will see if I want to agree with that price. So he gives an even higher price and Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala says, right, on that price I have bought Bilal from you. And he gives him the money. Now Umayyah says that if you have even mentioned 10% of that price, I would have given you Bilal for that price. So Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala said that if you would have asked for every single thing I own, I would have given you that for Bilal. You don't know the value of Bilal. And then he took Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala to the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, ya Rasulullah, I make you a witness that I own Bilal, I have bought him and now I have freed him. Now one thing that is important to note that's just come to my mind is Islam did not encourage slavery. Okay? Slavery was already established and it was at its worst form. Islam came to eradicate slavery. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in several ahadith gave this encouragement that every human being is born as a free man. Every person is born free. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew that he could not stop slavery in a split second. It had to happen slowly and gradually. So in that manner, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would mention rewards. That he who frees one slave, he will get this reward. He who frees two slaves, he will get this reward. In that manner, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as his messenger to eradicate slavery. In many kafarat, kafarat is compensation of sins. So when somebody committed a sin, the kafara, the compensation would be that you free slaves. Free this many slaves and you will be forgiven from your sin. So in that manner, slavery was eradicated by Islam. Islam is the religion that came and eradicated slavery. The West learned freedom from Islam. Islam was the religion that came with freedom. So now the fifth year after the I'lan of Nubuwwah comes and the torture of the Kuffar has reached its limits. They, the people of Makkah, they cannot understand that how many times we are punishing and torturing these people, yet they are not moving. They have planted their feet, they cannot be shaken. We must do something. And their torture reached extreme limits. So the Sahaba-i-Kiram came in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they asked, what can we do? So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you permission to migrate from Makkah, to do hijrah, to leave Makkah Mukarramah and find a place that where you can peacefully live and act upon Islam without having to face punishment and torture from the evil people. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself said that you should go to Abyssinia, Habsha, which is today known as Ethiopia. So they went south from Makkah across the water to Ethiopia. The first group of people that went there were only a few. There were less than 20 people. Amongst them was Sayyidina Uthman al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala with the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because he was the son-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And amongst them was Sayyidina Abu Hudayfa radiallahu anhu. Amongst them was Sayyidina Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu. Amongst them was Sayyidina Zubair ibn Awam radiallahu anhu. And other Sahaba ikiram. They all left and they went to Ethiopia. Now when the Kuffar heard that these people are traveling to Ethiopia, leaving for Hijrah, they tried to run after them because they had decided that we will not be able to stop these people unless we kill them. So they were now thirsty for the blood of the Muslims. So they wanted to kill the Muslims. So they chased after the Sahaba. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua for them. So they were luckily, they were protected from by the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They got onto boats and they went off to Ethiopia. Now when they went to Ethiopia, the king at that time was Najashi. In English he's known as Negus. He was the king of Ethiopia. He was the king of Abyssinia at that time. He was a Christian and he was a devoted Christian. So he was devoted and used to act upon Christianity. He allowed them to live peacefully. But later the Muslims heard that the people of Makkah have accepted Islam. News came to Ethiopia, to Abyssinia, that they had accepted Islam. So a few of them went back to Makkah. When they went back to Makkah, they found that nobody's accepted. They haven't. It was false news. But then with them, over 100 people then migrated to Abyssinia, to Ethiopia. Amongst them was Sayyiduna Ja'far radiallahu anh, the brother of Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu anh. They all now traveled to Abyssinia and they left Makkah Mukarramah. Sayyiduna Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anh, when he saw that the people have left for Abyssinia, he decided to stay with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Remember, he stayed by the side of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam all throughout his life. But at one time, he thought that these people are torturing me as well, because they were torturing Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu as well. They physically beat Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq many a times. So he decided that let me leave as well. So he got some of his goods and he packed his bags and he left Makkah Mukarramah. And he reaches this place called Zuraqa. When he reaches this place, which is outside Makkah Mukarramah, one of the leaders of the tribes of Makkah, there's a tribe called Qara. The leader of that tribe, his name was Malik ibn Dughunna. According to the scholars of Lugha, it's Dughunna. But according to the Muhaddithin, it's Daghunna or Daghna. So Ibn Dughunna, Malik ibn Dughunna, he is returning to Makkah and he sees Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And he said to him, okay, what are you doing? Where are you going from Makkah? Why are you going south? I understand if you're going north to Syria, but why are you going? Where are you going? So Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu said that I have had enough of the people of Makkah who have been torturing and beating and abusing me and all the people who have accepted Islam. All we are saying is don't worship anyone but Allah. There is none worthy of worship but Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. This is all we are saying. Upon this, they are physically abusing us. And I have had enough of this torture. I am leaving for Ethiopia, for Abyssinia, for Habsha. So now, Ibn Dughunna says, okay, I will not let you go. I swear, I will not let you go. For you are a man who earns money so that you can feed the poor. You are a man who helps the needy. You are a man who carries the weight of those who cannot carry their burden. You are a man who treats the guests of Makkah Mukarramah in a great manner. You are one of the most noble men in Makkah. I cannot let you leave Makkah. Come back with me. Come back with me. I take oath and I swear that I will keep you in my protection. If any of the people of Makkah will speak against you or abuse you, then I will fight against them. I have taken you in my refuge. I have taken you in my aman. So Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, upon his persuasion, he returns back to Makkah. Now Ibn Dughunna goes to the people of Makkah, Abu Jahl, Walid, Umayyah and these people, and he says to them, okay, nobody must harm Abu Bakr or say anything to him. For I have taken oath, I have taken him in my protection. I have given him aman. So none of you must. If any one of you do, then you are breaking that treaty and breaking my oath, and you will have to remove your swords from their sheaths, and you will have to fight against my tribe. So now the people of Makkah said to him, these leaders of Makkah, like Abu Jahl, la'natullahi alayhim, these people said that on one condition we will accept your aman for Abu Bakr. That is that when he performs salah, when he worships Allah in the four walls of his home, not outside. Because when he recites the Quran outside, the women and the children and the men appear from everywhere and they become devoted to the words of Allah that he claims to be. And then they accept Islam. So tell him to go inside his home and recite or do whatever he wants, then we will accept your aman. So then Ibn Dughunna goes to Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, and he says, okay, O Abu Bakr, I have promised you Aman, but there is one condition. You must worship and pray and recite your Quran or whatever Kalam you are reciting inside the four walls of your home, not outside. So Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala now agrees. And he starts performing salah in the home. He is either with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the house of Sayyidina Arqam, or he is at his home performing salah as worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And salah was not obligatory yet. They used to perform salah voluntarily as worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then came a time when Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala thought to himself that why should I hide and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this manner when these people are openly worshipping these idols? When Allah is the truth, when Allah is haq, why should I hide and worship Allah? So then he opened the door of his home, he came outside and he said Allahu Akbar and started performing salah. And he would recite the Quran loudly. In nafl salah you can recite the Quran loudly, there's no harm in that. So he would recite the Quran loudly. Now when he started doing this, the people of Makkah, the women, the children, they started gathering, because the words of the Quran, the ijaz of the Quran in the Arabic language is such that whenever someone listens to it, his ears are attracted to it. Like a magnet, it calls them towards it. This is the miracle of the Quran, the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then people come, now the people of Makkah, these leaders of Makkah, the enemies of Islam, go to Ibn Dughunna and say, you promised us with one condition. He has now broken that condition. You either go and tell him to go inside and perform his salah, or we will take our swords out and kill Abu Bakr. So Ibn Dughunna says, wait, let me go and speak to him. So Ibn Dughunna comes to Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, and he says, oh Abu Bakr, what are you doing? I thought we had an agreement. You would stay inside your home and worship Allah. You have now started to come outside again and recite the Quran loudly amongst the people. So Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala said to him that I don't need your protection. I don't need your aman. I have the protection and aman of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You cannot stop me from worshipping Allah outside. Tell them they can do whatever they want. I am in the protection and aman of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in that manner, Islam continued to slowly spread amongst this small amount of people. Now, the people of Makkah, when they found that people have done hijrah and gone to Abyssinia, they sent a couple of people with gifts for Najashi, for the king. They said, take these gifts, go to the king of Abyssinia and tell him that these people who you have given aman to and you have allowed them to stay in your country, they are evil people, they are criminals of Makkah Mukarramah. Deport them back to Makkah so that we can punish them. And they are also against your religion of Christianity. So Amr ibn As and a man called Ammar, these two are sent by the people of Makkah. So these two go to Abyssinia with all these gifts and they come in the court of Najashi. And they say to Najashi, and they come in front of him, they bow to him and they do sajda to Najashi. So they're spreading butter onto Najashi. And then they say that you are this, you are that. They start praising Najashi. And then they say that we have come from Makkah and we have brought these gifts for you. The leaders and the masters of Makkah have sent these gifts for you. There are a few people, over 100 people who have come to your country. And they are against your religion. They are criminals from Makkah. We request that you send them back to Makkah as criminals. They need to be punished. So Najashi asked for them people to come. So some of the Muslims come in the court of Najashi. Amongst them is Sayyidina Ja'far radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Usman al-Ghani, Sayyidina Usman ibn Maz'un, Sayyidina Zubair ibn Awam, and all these other Sahaba, they all now come in the court and they see that Amr has come and Ammar has come from Makkah, the enemies of Islam. So Najashi asks them, what crime have you committed in Makkah Mukarramah? So Sayyidina Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala stands up and he says, now Amr says that, wait, before you speak. He says to Najashi that, look, when we came, we did sajda to you. Look at these people, they don't even do sajda to you. They don't even respect you, they don't even bow to you. Tell them to bow to you. So Najashi says, why do you not do sajda to me? So Sayyidina Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala recited verses of the Quran and said, none is worthy of worship but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do not do sajda to anyone but one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Najashi is pleased on hearing this and he says, tell me more. So Sayyidina Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala delivers a lecture in the court of Najashi. A beautiful lecture whereby he mentions the aqaid of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that we believe in one Allah and we believe in the prophets and messengers of Allah and we believe that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the last and final messenger of Allah. He forbids us from worshipping idols. He forbids us from keeping impurity on our clothes. He orders us to keep clean and keep our bodies clean and wash before we pray in the court of Allah. He teaches against the killing of women with their deceased husbands. He teaches against the killing of children who are still alive, female, newly born babies being buried alive in the grave. He speaks against that. And he mentions the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Najashi is extremely pleased on hearing this because he knew about this final prophet yet to come from the Injil, because he had also studied the Injil. So then Amr says to Najashi that they also reject your deen of Christianity. So Najashi says, what do you say about Christianity? So Sayyidina Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala recited the verses of Surah Maryam. When he recited the verses of Surah Maryam, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Sayyida Maryam radiallahu anha, how she gave birth without a husband, and how Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam blew the soul into Sayyida Maryam, and how she became carrying, pregnant with Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, and how he was born, and how he spoke in the cradle of his mother and said, Inni Abdullah, I am the servant of Allah and a messenger of Allah. He recites the whole of Surah Maryam. Such a beautiful surah. You should all go and recite Surah Maryam and read its translation. Absolutely amazing surah. When he is reciting this surah, Najashi starts to cry. He starts to cry and then he says, you have spoken the truth. This is not the word of Muhammad or a man. This is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the truth is, according to the ulama-i muhaqqiqeen, Najashi accepted Islam. He accepted Islam. He didn't live for long, but he gave aman to the Muslims and he told Amr and Ammar to go back to Makkah, and he rejected them and he even rejected the gifts that they brought, and he said, take all these gifts with you, go away, because I don't want to listen to what you have to say. These are good people and they can remain safely in my country and they are free to continue the way they want to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He also accepted Islam. He didn't live for long, but when he died, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also led his janazah salah. This is how lucky Najashi was. He led his janazah salah ghaibana, because at that time it was permissible. Later Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it mansukh, forbade it, that for the janazah salah, the dead body has to be present. So later on, the rule is that the janazah has to be present. That's where you can do the janazah. But then, in the beginning of Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed ghaibana janazah. Do you understand? So that was Najashi. He passed away. But the people of Makkah now had many people gone to Abyssinia in Ethiopia. And now, the seventh year after the ilan of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam happens. The sixth year happens. This is 6 years. 1 year after the people have gone to Abyssinia. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is abused by the people of Makkah outside the Kaaba. And he is abused so much that it was unbearable to the people. Even those who didn't accept Islam, they were against that type of abuse against Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came home, and at that time, Sayyiduna Amir Hamza, the uncle of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he came home, and he was a very strong and very fierce man. Everyone feared Sayyiduna Hamza, the uncle of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was not only the uncle, he was also the brother, foster brother, because he had also drank the milk of Sayyida Thuwaiba radiallahu anha. So he was also a foster brother of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was only 2 years difference in the age of him and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, and everybody's scared of this man, because when he gets angry, nobody can stop him. He wakes up in the morning, he goes hunting. And he was a ninja, he was a hunter, he was a warrior. He was an expert in all these fields. Physically, nobody could challenge Sayyidina Amir Hamza radiallahu anhu. He goes off hunting in the morning, and he would come back at night, do tawaf of the Kaaba, and then sit amongst the people of Quraysh and then go home. That's how he used to spend his days. Now he comes home this day. Now somebody comes to him and says, do you know what they did to your nephew Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Do you know what these people, who did what? This is what they said, this is what they said, this is what they did. Sayyidina Amir Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, he begins to boil. His blood begins to boil. He becomes completely furious. Tell me who it was. And they said Abu Jahl was the man who was saying all of this. So now he picks up his arrow and his bow. He takes his arrows and his bow. And he has this massive heavy bow made of wood. And he goes, rushes to the Kaaba. And he looks for Abu Jahl. Where's Abu Jahl? And now when he is in Jalal, everybody's scared. People start moving away. That Hamza has come. What will happen now? And somebody says, there's Abu Jahl. He goes to Abu Jahl and he takes his bow and he slams it on the head of Abu Jahl. And it rips open and Abu Jahl starts bleeding from his head. Completely splits it open. And then he says, how dare anyone say anything to my nephew Muhammad? Do you not know that I have accepted his religion? I have accepted the religion of Muhammad. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. If anyone is to abuse Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, physically or verbally, then you will have to fight with me. I am his protector. How dare anyone harm Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? After that, 3 days after that, Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala, he comes and he wants to go and kill Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is furious that Amir Hamza has accepted Islam. All these people have accepted Islam. What is going on? The people of Makkah are saying this and that. He takes his sword and he says, today I'm going to end all of this. And if there was one man who could maybe stand in front of Amir Hamza radiallahu anhu, then Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. I'm not saying who was stronger, I can't say that. But if somebody could stand, then it was him. He took his sword, and on the way to the house of Sayyidina Arkam, he sees somebody and they say to him that, before you go to Muhammad, your own sister and your brother-in-law have accepted Islam. He goes there, and he slaps his sister really hard. So hard, Sayyida Fatima bint Khattab, radiallahu anha, that she had earrings on. When he slapped her, these earrings were torn off her ear. That's how hard he slapped his sister. And she started bleeding. He also struck his brother-in-law, the husband of Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha. And then he said that, how dare you accept the religion of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? But when he saw the blood on his sister, when he saw the blood, he immediately calmed down. And he said, are you okay? Are you okay? Because the love for his sister overwhelmed his anger. And then she started shouting at Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, that who do you think you are? Have you ever even heard what Muhammad is saying? All we are saying is don't worship anyone but Allah. And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala never worshipped idols. He always believed in one Allah and he was always against the idols. So when she said that, he said, tell me more. So Sayyida Fatima bint Khattab, not Sayyida Fatima Zahra, bint Khattab radiallahu anha, she started reciting, or her husband or one of the people that were there started reciting Surah Hadid. Sabbaha lillahi ma fis samawati wal ard wa huwa al azizul hakim. She recited that surah, continued to recite, and Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu ta'ala listens to this surah and his heart completely melts. And then she reaches the verse, وَآمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Accept Iman and submit yourself to Allah and to His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Sayyidina Umar starts crying and he says, stop there, I have accepted. I have accepted Iman, I have accepted. Where is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So that she says, he's at Dar-e Arqam, the house of Sayyidina Arqam. So then he goes to the house of Sayyidina Arqam and he knocks on the door. The doorman of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looks through this little hole and says, Umar is here. Now Sayyidina Amir Hamza stands up and he says, I have no sword, but open the door. I will kill him with his own weapon. Let him come. All the others are scared and they all move back. But Sayyidina Hamza says, let him come. Open that door. I don't have a sword. I will use his own sword to cut his neck off, to cut his head off. So Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, open the door. Oh Hamza, sit down. Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu ta'ala doesn't sit, he stays standing in case anything happens. When the door opens, Sayyidina Umar walks in and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes forward and says, O Umar, it is now time for you to accept Iman. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he immediately gives his hand into the hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he says, I have already accepted Iman. I bear witness that Allah is only one and none other is worthy of worship besides Him, and you are the truthful and honest Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what happens after that, inshallah, we shall talk about tomorrow.